AgriTalk is brought to you by Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide from FMC. Get serious seedling defense to defend against the toughest early season pests and diseases. Choose Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide for apt plant defense.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Davis Michelson here. Chip is traveling. It's meeting season. He's off meeting. We'll find out what he finds out tomorrow when we find out what he found out. Right now, I'd like to talk to Dr. Jim Mintert. We get our monthly update from Purdue University's Ag Economy Barometer. Dr. Mintert, there wasn't much improvement in the November economy barometer. In fact, you might say there was no improvement, but also no change to the downside. The index reads 102 for the month, unchanged from October. Welcome to AgriTalk, Dr. Mintert. Your general thoughts on the barometer.
Thanks, Davis. And you're right. There really was no change. The overall measure of sentiment, the Ag Economy Barometer, came in unchanged from last month. Very, very small changes in the index of current conditions and index of future expectations. And realistically, from a statistical perspective, no change in those either. If you think about it, maybe the one thing that was a little bit positive was the fact the Farm Financial Performance Index did increase a little bit. I think it went from 86 to 91 this month. And maybe more importantly, when you look at it from kind of a little broader perspective and think about the fact that we're asking people to compare 2022 to 2021, both very good income years, about two-thirds of the survey feels reasonably good about their farm's financial performance. So I think that's maybe a little bit more positive than what we picked up in some prior months. It'll be interesting to see in the current survey, the one that we're doing right now, how people respond to expectations about 2023 versus 2022.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about that financial performance index there, It feels like farmers feel pretty good about how they're doing financially right now, and yet the current conditions index slipped 3 points on the month. How do we justify those two?
Well, I think when you think about the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, really the story of both of those is people are pretty uneasy about where they're at mm-hmm. with respect to today and where we're headed. And I think that just reflects this tremendous amount of uncertainty that we have with respect to input cost, input availability, rising interest rates. You know, when we asked our question about looking ahead to next year, what are your biggest concerns for farming operation? You know, people are focusing on the input side. That's really interesting, right? So 42% said higher input cost was their number one concern looking ahead to next year. Number two was rising interest rates. Number three was availability of inputs. All three of those are on the input side. Those are the biggest mm-hmm. concerns people have. Lower crop and livestock prices came in about the same as availability of inputs. So I think that is kind of a unique perspective in the sense that ordinarily in agriculture, we don't worry that much about the inputs. We mostly worry about the outputs, both in terms of productivity, yield, for example, and prices. That's not the case right now. And I think that's created this tremendous angst and anxiety. And we're still picking that up on all the broader indexes, the barometer itself and the index of current conditions, index of future expectations.
Well, let's elucidate that just a little bit. As you're talking about the focus is on the inputs rather than the output, is that a sign perhaps that prices are high enough? You know, you talked about the financial performance and farmers seem to be fairly comfortable there. Were crop prices a little bit lower? Would we maybe see that flipped from concern to the inputs to the outputs?
That's a good point. And I suspect we would. Although when we visit with people individually, I can tell, you know, if you look at prices, particularly the prices we've been able to reap for the 21 and 22 crops, clearly those are high enough to generate some very positive margins. When we look ahead to 23 and think about where those new crop futures are, for example, on soybeans and corn, and think about where break-evens are headed on most farms, that's when people start to get nervous. And I think as we head into 23, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with respect to concerns that people have, because the spread, the margin, is going to be much, much tighter in 23, unless something unusual happens that we don't currently anticipate. It looks like it's going to be quite a bit tighter. And I think what we're starting to pick up a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see here over the course of the winter and into the early spring, people being worried about the tremendous investment they've got in that 23 crop.
Yeah, yeah. In my notes here, I have it at 42% of survey respondents listed those high input costs as their concern, their top concern for the year ahead. The Farm Capital Investment Index dropped down to its record low of 31. That ties the record low, but that feels like maybe with those high input costs in view, perhaps farmers are circling the financial wagons.
Well, maybe, and that would probably be a good thing. I think if one of the messages we've tried to get out to producers here in late fall is this idea that a lot of people have pretty positive taxable income for 22. Mm-hmm. And of course, this time of year, we focus on reducing tax exposure. The concern is folks might make some decisions right now that would erode their working capital. And so I think, that's a little bit of an issue. But when you think about that Farm Capital Investment Index, it's really become increasingly clear that people are telling us this is not a good time to make large investments because you can't get a good deal. Primary reason for the people who say it's a bad time to make those large investments, consistently now we've been asking this question going back to July, what the primary reason is that they think it's a bad time to make investments. And the overwhelming response every single month now has been the increase in prices for farm machinery and new construction. So people aren't necessarily saying, I won't step out and buy that tractor or buy that disc or buy that planter. What they're saying is, I can't get a good deal. Therefore, it's not a good time to make a good investment or make a big investment.
Well, that seems like a pretty healthy position for farmers to be in.
I think it's a recognition that you need to be a little bit careful about what you invest in. But when you look at the prices and you look at the order books, I mean, Deere talked about this when they released some of their forecasts for 23. Their order books are still full. You look at used prices at farm machinery, and I know you talked to Machine Repeat. I mean, those prices remain very, very strong. So we're still seeing a lot of activity there, but people aren't necessarily feeling great about it, but they're still moving ahead. In some cases, they need to make an investment. They held back for a while. This is an opportunity in a high income year to make some investments. It's interesting to see how that's going to play out, particularly as we head into 23 and maybe 24 when this thing starts to loosen up with respect to supplies, because, machinery inventories are still relatively tight in most locations.
Indeed, indeed. Let's talk operational changes. I found this very interesting. Just over 1/4 of respondents have made operational changes due to rising energy prices. Can you talk with us about that, please?
Yeah, we just thought it'd be interesting to find out what people are doing with respect to especially these high diesel prices. And so we asked that question, and then we followed up with the folks who said they've made some changes. And as you indicated, just a little over 1/4, I think it was 27%, said they've made some changes. We gave them a list of things as to, what possible changes they might have made. And no big surprise in some respects, reduced tillage was number one. 33% of the people who said they've made a change said it was to reduce tillage. Number two was reduce nitrogen rates or change the timing of application of nitrogen. And then after that, you kind of had a potpourri of things. Reduced crop drying was in there at 8%. I think adopted or increased the usage of no-till planting was at 11%. And then, we didn't have a complete list for everything because of the telephone survey. The other group category, the ubiquitous other group, was 24%. So people are doing other things. And I think what it really points to is this idea is people are aware of how much energy costs have gone up. They know it's having a big impact on their cost of production. And they're looking for a multitude of ways to fine-tune their operation and try and reduce their usage of energy and try and bring back those cost increases or hold down those cost increases a little bit.
Let's hit quickly expectations on land values. Longer-term farmland value index, that's looking out 5 years, was steady at 144. The short-term index declined slightly, down 4 points on the month.
Yeah, both of those indexes are still in what I would characterize as positive territory. They're less optimistic than people were this time last year. I think if you look at that short-term index and compare it to a year ago, it's down about 18%. The long-term index, which is always a little more positive than the short-term index, is down about 9% compared to a year ago. So people are less bullish than they were a year ago, but we haven't completely lost all the bullishness, I guess is how I'd put that. And then, of course, we followed up with the folks who told us they expect to see farmland values rise over the next 5 years and said, what's the main reason why you think farmland values are going to rise? And the number one choice continues to be an expectation of non-farm investor demand supporting farmland values, followed by inflation. Those two are the big drivers, according to producers, in terms of what they think is going to happen with respect to farmland values.
Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University, thank you for elucidating the Ag Economy Barometer for us again this month. Let's chat again next month and see what you come up with. What say?
All right. Thanks, Davis. We'll catch you next month.
Appreciate it. Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue. All right. Coming up next, we're going to kick off our Farmer Forum. The fellas are standing by. We've got Ken Erickson and Dwayne Faber. We'll check in on the markets before that. Stick around, everyone. Glad you've tuned in. Davis Michelson in for Chip Flory on AgriTalk on this lovely morning. Stick around through these words. We'll be right back.